In the Gospel, chapter 22 of Luke, the verse 15. We'll perhaps read verses 14 through to 16. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And especially the words, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord here is revealing to us a great yearning in his heart, an intense longing that he has. And it is an intense longing. It's very deep. He does not just say, I desire to eat, or I want to eat this Passover with you. But he says it in a way that is very strong. He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this with you. I have longed with a longing to eat it with you. Others in a similar situation, if you think about the situation our Lord is in here, others in a similar situation that might desire to be alone. They might desire to get alone with their Father, with God. They might desire to flee, to evade the whole situation altogether, to escape. They might long to get out of the situation. But Jesus, abiding in the situation, has a longing to eat the Passover with his disciples. Now, of course, you know the Lord has eaten many times with his disciples. He probably has had at least two other Passover meals with them during his ministry. And no doubt there were wonderful times around the meal table. And I'm sure he desired every one of those occasions and looked forward to them all, just as we look forward to the meal table and to a special occasion where you'll have a dinner or a meal together with others. So there is the ordinary desire, the ordinary longing and looking forward to these things. But this exceeds that. This goes beyond that. This is a desire like none before. With longing, I've longed for this meal, he's saying to us. So this is a very unique situation. It's a very special longing. It's a very rare situation, not to be repeated. And it's a Passover that's very, very different from every other Passover that ever took place from the time of the Exodus. So this is a great desire that he has. Just to illustrate the intensity of it, God sometimes uses this whenever he expresses what he's going to do for his people. He says, in multiplying, I will multiply you. I greatly multiply you. Or in blessing, I will bless you. I'll greatly bless you. And so in desiring, I have desired this. I've greatly desired. So that gives you an idea of the intensity. And the Lord wants us to know that intensity. That's the thing. He hasn't kept it secret. He's revealed it. He wants his apostles to know it, to feel it, to see it in his life. And he wants the church to see it as well and to feel it tonight, even as we sit around his holy word. This is a very extraordinary desire then. And it shows his great love for his people. In fact, the Apostle John, whenever he describes the sitting down in the upper room and the Passover night, he prefaces that evening thus: when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So that's how John explains this desire. He saw it too. He realized what was happening. He's loved his apostles all through his ministry, but now near the end, that love has intensified. It's still there. He has this longing, this love for his people. So John expresses the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ has expressed, only in different words. But not only does the way that the Lord Jesus reveal his desire, show its intensity. The particular word that he uses does too. Because this is an unusual word, this word, I've desired. The noun with desire, the verb, I have desired. It's the same intensive word. And you may be surprised to know that that is the noun that is most often translated lust. With lust I have lusted to eat this Passover with you. Now, the Lord used the word on a number of occasions in the Gospels. He talked about the lusts of other things entering into the life and choking the word. Lusts are very intense, you see. They can even choke the word. They can even harm the spiritual life. He said that you're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. They're intense things. And in us, there are very often evil things and wicked things, desires for things that are wrong, but never, never in Christ. So whenever he uses this word, he's not talking about a sinful desire. You must never imagine that. But he is expressing the intensity of it. And he's revealing this. We are creatures of desire, you see, and some are more intense than others at different times. And ours are sinful, but the Lord Jesus Christ is having a pure desire. Now, I've labored long, I know, to show you the vast depth of this yearning in Christ, but I've done it for a reason. The same reason for which Jesus says and reveals it to the people. And that is the importance of the occasion. The importance of the occasion. For him and for his church. You don't long for something that is trivial. Certainly Christ doesn't. He doesn't have this intense yearning for something that is, you know, not that important really. So we're seeing here something important. In this Passover meal and around this table this night, there is an historic redemptive act taking place. There's something vital. There's something important. It's not just another meal, but something important to the Lord Jesus and something important to his church. Now, all the gospel writers write about the last meal. And that also shows you the importance of it. And the last gospel writer, the Apostle John, he gives whole chapters to it. In fact, a very large percentage of his whole gospel just to the upper room. So he has sensed the importance of it. So the upper room then is something that is vital to Christ, and much on his mind, much on his heart, so dear to him. And this last meal was as well. And therefore the upper room and the meal, the Lord's table, ought to be something that's dear to the church. Dear to us. Now, as I say, the Lord Jesus is opening up and unfolding his heart, his inner desire, and he completely declares how he feels. He doesn't often do that. He doesn't often take away the covering of his heart and just show what those desires are. But this night is different. And therefore, we have to examine this. If the Lord has so clearly stated it, we have to look at it and ask ourselves, but why? Why did he have this desire? What is there about this longing? What should we learn from it? What is there special about this last Passover? Well, first of all, clearly, it is the last time together. It's the last time together before the Lord's death. Now, this doesn't wholly explain the desire, but it's part of the explanation. And it's one of the steps along the way of examining what is going on here. So the Lord Jesus knows that he is to die soon. Luke says when the hour was come in the text. When the hour was come. And that's not just a reference to the time of the meal. That's a prophetic word. Luke is using a term that the Lord Jesus Christ often used in reference to the time of his death, the hour. The hour's come. Not just the hour of the Passover, but the hour of his death, the hour of his sufferings. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ even adds with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. So it's in the context of his sufferings that are about to take place, in the context of his death, the last time together. He yearns for this last time before he has to go to the cross and the agony and the death. So it's a special hour that is referred to before he suffers. So it's the last time he is with them. And he wants to get things off his heart. He wants to say things to them before he leaves them. It is as a dying man. Literally, as a dying man that he thus speaks. Now imagine if you knew you were going to die. You'd be dead in 24 hours. That's unlikely that you would know that. But imagine if you did know that, your desire life would undergo quite a change. All the trivial desires would disappear. All the things that we normally desire, you know what you desire? I desire new clothes. I desire to get my hair done, a new hairstyle. I desire to read a certain book. I desire to have a certain meal and so on and so forth. But whenever you learn you've very little time left, there's very few desires, and those desires are heightened and magnified, and they are usually important desires too. And very often it is a desire to be with your family, to be with your loved ones. The pleasures of life and the lusts of things hold no sway then, and it's a desire to be near to your loved ones for the final hours. And so the dying Savior covets his near ones, his dear ones, their presence, and to be with them before the agony and the suffering. He desires this for their profit, but he also desires it for his help and for his encouragement as well before the inevitable. So he's preparing them, but he's also preparing himself before entrance into the darkness to spend that last time with his nearest and dearest on earth, this infant church for which he gave himself, which is soon to grow into larger proportions. So there's that part of this longing. It's the last time. But there is more to this than that. There are other things here besides. The second thing is then that it marks the end of something that he has longed to see the end of. I think there is a desire here that is not recent. Now, no doubt it has intensified, but it's something he's had for a long time. He's longed for this hour. He's longed for this occasion whenever there would be the end of something before the bringing in of something greater, something new. So he's had this desire for this last Passover. And that's the thing. It's the last Passover. He's desired the last Passover for a long time. He's desired it with great yearning. The last one. Now the Savior celebrated 30 plus Passovers, perhaps thereabouts. Two or three of those were probably with some of his disciples, but he's been longing for the last Passover meal. And it's this night. The text actually, and the Lord actually explains this partially. He explains the desire, because you see in verse 16, 4, with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for, because I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until, and that doesn't mean he's going to start eating it again sometime. That doesn't mean that. But I'm not going to eat this Passover anymore. This is it. Until it's finished in the kingdom of God. There's something ended. There's something finished. There's something about to be completed. So he's not going to eat the Passover anymore. This is the last for him. Now he's going to enter into fulfillment. That's the word he uses, fulfilled. Fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Christ's sufferings and death bring in fulfillment. I've desired that, I've longed for that, I've yearned for that, for this Passover that will go on into fulfillment. So he's fulfilling the Passover so that it's ended, so that it's complete. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ does that. He has longed to finish the work. He's longed to do that business which his Father has given him to do. He's longed to fulfill the scriptures. He's longed to die as the Lamb of God. He has yearned to be able to say, it is accomplished, it is finished, it is completed. He has longed for the time when the veil of the temple would be torn asunder and all the Jewish economy would end and be finished. He's yearned for that. For he is fulfillment. And so he is wanting to cause to cease the Jewish shadows and the ceremonial and to bring in at last the kingdom of God in its substance and in all its reality in himself. And so that's what this is about. This night marks the end of the Jewish system. This night marks the end of temple worship in reality for the church of Jesus Christ. This is the last Jewish feast that it is necessary to keep. We sung tonight, 'tis finished. Legal worship ends and gospel ages run. All old things are passed away. A new world is begun. And that's why Christ has yearned for this night. The Savior has longed to sit with his church and to tell them that it is finished. I am the Passover Lamb. I fulfill this feast. This is the last ceremony. But that does not explain it all. So yes, it was the last meal with his family. Yes, it is the end of the Jewish ceremony and institutions and the bringing in of the kingdom. But also, it was to give to the church something new, something special, something wonderful. He's kept it to this time as he leaves one and goes into the new. He is giving them something for the new. He is leaving them a new institution. He is presenting them with something that will sustain their life throughout the generations that are ahead until he comes back again, until the Lord returns. He is leaving them an ordinance. And of course, it is that ordinance that we observe tonight. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The ordinance of the communion. He longed to leave them that. And with yearning he has desired to be able to finally set this before them. Before he suffers and leaves them. And so the upper room, as the church has always known, is about the Lord's table. It's about the communion feast. It's about this wonderful sacrament that we keep. Now notice carefully what the Lord does after declaring his desire. Verse 17, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. This is the last part of the Passover. And he doesn't drink this cup. For he is the fulfillment of the Passover. But it's the last, the old going away. I won't drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then he took the bread. And he's bringing in something new now. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do, something to be done, something to be observed by the church all the time. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. It's after the Passover supper. After that last one, he's giving them a new cup for the new age. As he ends one, he brings in another. And it is this that he has desired and longed for, to institute this supper. What I'm saying tonight, congregation, you see how important the Lord's table is. Surely you must see that. Surely you must see that it is not a useless thing, that it's not something that can be omitted, it's not something that can be laid aside. It's not something that is powerless. It's not something that is useless. It's not something that is Christless. It's not a meaningless ceremony. It has the whole heart of Christ behind it and the whole longing of Christ in it. That's how important the Lord's table is. He must be leaving something that is not only dear to him, but that he wants to be dear to his people because it will be for their life, for their good. And so he wants them to know that this is something that's vital, not only for the 12, but for the church as it grows out of them into a great temple. So this eating and drinking is vital for the church. Is it a mere trifle, the Lord's table? Would the Lord long and desire and spend this last hour giving them a hollow, empty thing? Is that how he's going to spend his last hour? To give them a hollow, empty, meaningless, powerless thing? Does anybody who is dying spend their last hour in something unimportant? Did he take away the shadow of the Passover meal and replace it with something powerless and trivial? I don't think so. He gave us himself, and he gives us his table, that we might learn to feed on Christ and to live on Jesus. So he's saying, feed on me, he says. I'm so important. I'm so important that you have to have communion with me. That you have to have fellowship with me. That you have to live on my death. That you have to live on my sacrifice. So it's something very important. And how can a Christian neglect this? How can a Christian neglect this? I mean, the Lord Jesus is saying with desire, I have desire. I mean, that's the very thing we should be saying. We should be saying that with desire, I have desired to eat this with you. We should be saying that to the Lord. So we see the Lord's great love for us. We see the importance of Christ's death, how it fulfills the old, how it brings in the new, how it brings believers into the blessing and the fellowship and the communion, and how in Christ's body and blood, his sacrifice, we have life eternal and everlasting. The importance of the death of Christ. And we learn that we can never go back to Judaism. There is no way we can ever go back to the ritual. There is no way temple worship will ever be reinstituted again in the will of Jesus Christ. It's finished. The shadows will never be revived. Doesn't make sense to revive them. In him we have fulfillment. In him we come to the Father. In him we meet with God. In him and through his body and blood we have life. and we learn where our desires should lie and where they should be most intense for the things of God, for the ordinances of preaching, and for the Lord's table. That's where our desire should be. So let us come tonight. Let us come with a true longing, and let us partake together and have a true communion with our living Lord, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory. Amen.